Mike Tirico here with some of the 2024 Team USA athletes. What's your message for the team of tomorrow?
To young athletes, never forget why you started doing it in the first place.
You have to pursue something that you're passionate about.
Win, lose, or draw, I'm always going to be the one having a smile on my face.
Finding joy in why you do it keeps you doing it.
Be authentic, be you, and have fun.
Joy is powering Team USA during the Olympic and Paralympic Games. Comcast is proud to be bringing that inspiration home for the team of tomorrow.
What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
Are you sure we can tell this?
Massive fan of basketball.
Ireland is in dreamland.
The All-Ireland Finals are almost upon us.
There's always good guests on.
Fastest ever seen you run in your life.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe at offtheball.com/join.
Highly recommend it.
OTB GAA. The Football Pod on Off The Ball.
In partnership with AIB.
Proud sponsors of the GAA Senior Football Championship.
Check out #TheToughest for more.
Hello there, and you're very welcome along to the Football Pod with Paddy Andrews and James O'Donoghue. Apologies, we're a little late this week. The Hurd and Tuck Centre stage. James, it wasn't with the want of trying. I did attempt to organise recording time on Monday. I had radio silence from you.
How dare you? I was at the desk waiting to go, and I heard
No, you weren't.
I was waiting.
You knocked it on the head, Paddy, very quickly.
I thought Tuesday's better. I enjoyed Sunday. I was at the hurling. It was incredible and in a bloody good evening. So I'm a little bit fresher today than I was yesterday. So I was very happy for that extra day's grace this week's pod. We have a big week ourselves, lads.
We do.
You know what I mean? We have a lot going on this week, lads.
So we have our free pod today that's going out, previewing the All-Ireland Final. We're announcing our two roadshow guests for Thursday night, our sold-out roadshow in Croke Park. I have about 47 DMs to get back to of people looking to sell tickets and 180 DMs from people looking
Lovely.
To buy tickets.
Everyone flogging their tickets.
Well, there's plenty of people looking to buy them. So we'll have a full house one way or another. There might be a few less Dublin and Kerry fans and a few extra Armagh and Galway fans. So I will get to yous. I've been caught up the last little while following.
That's
the
all right.
So... that's Tuesday pod, Wednesday members pod, Thursday sold out roadshow, and on our members pod on Wednesday, this is really important. This is going out tomorrow. We will give you details of how you can go to a secret, exclusive football pod event in an unnamed location on Friday night in Dublin 2 in the city centre with a current intercounty footballer joining Paddy and James. On Friday night. So
Jesus.
It won't be an Armagh footballer and it won't be a Galway footballer, but we have a big name joining us.
A big star. Safe to say it's a big star joining us. Well done, T. Fair play to you for getting him in.
An absolute star. Yeah. And so AIB bringing him on the road not once, but twice this week. I'd say we could have done a Taylor Swift. We could have sold Croke Park out Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday night out, but we said we'd do it a little different. We do Thursday night.
We could have done the merch stadium as well. Where does she put all the merchandise? And she sell out somewhere there as well.
On the Tree Arena,
Tree Arena, just of t-shirts.
Yeah,
well, we'll put Aviva for football pod hats.
I might need a wish version of James and Paddy to take over the pod then on another night. I don't know if you'd have three nights in a row, witchy. So the details, I'm going to give it on the members pod, right? And this is important. On the members pod, it's going to go out tomorrow at, let's say, 12:30.
Lunchtime.
The first 10 football pod members, off the ball members, who email me with proof of their membership and a request to go to that exclusive event will be granted a plus one to join us on Friday night. So that's 20 people. Anyone else who emails in, who may see it a little later, may see it on social media. Anyone else who emails in after that cutoff point will be added into a hat and we will have 10 more plus ones to give away. So it'll be 40 football pod fans and that's it. Football pod members and that's it.
Oh,
joining us on the night.
An intimate screening.
Yeah, and then
is that going to be like that draw for tickets that was going around online there a while ago, a couple of days ago? The old fella with the
loud referees.
He had his own ticket in his hand. That was all time classic.
It's certainly.
Oh, I feel like it's my name. Oh, it's me. What a surprise!
Even your man doing the draw ended up winning too.
Wrong here, lads. Jesus Christ! Yeah, this is very convoluted tea, but listen, we have a great guest, so it'll be a good night. Both nights, Croker be good, and the unnamed venue will also be very good.
It will be very good. So we're not naming the guest. We're not naming the venue. Tomorrow, we're giving you a chance for any Football Pod members to get involved and get there. For anyone looking for tickets, DM the Football Pod for Thursday night. You won't be able to get tickets for Friday night unless you remember and you email me. But if you want tickets for Thursday night, DM me and I will try and put you in touch with another Football Pod fan who can't make it on Thursday night now. They bought their tickets back in early June. We'll forgive them. Things can happen. So, Thursday night in Croke Park, we have got two legends of the game joining us. On the Armagh side, one of the finest forwards we ever saw in the noughties. An absolute horse of a man who could do anything in attack. He really was. Stevie McDonald is joining us on the stage.
Oh.
James, you've been watching.
A little bit of stardust there.
You've been looking at a couple of YouTube videos. I know David Clifford was talking to us. Remember that, the lovely piece with David Napoli and James Reedy's back in the day? He was talking about watching Armagh games during lunch break or during class. I don't know when he was doing it. But you've been looking at a few of those Armagh games in the last couple of weeks as well, haven't you?
Yeah, they were class. I was looking at, I stumbled across them when Kerry were playing Armagh. I watched a couple of those games. They were unbelievable because Armagh had that diagonal ball down to a tee to Stephen McDonagh.
Bang it in.
And Clark full forward. They were just, and Kerry were doing the same thing with Donaghy. It was just to get him a diagonal balls and it was so dangerous. There was no fluting around with hand passing or safety. It was like, get the ball into the boys. And they were winning it and just class scores, like throwing it over the shoulder, making space for each other and kicking points. Serious, serious original footballers. That was great to see. So he's going to be a great guest.
Such a good team. Our second guest joining us on Thursday night. And I am really excited about this because this is a man who has had such an interesting career with Galway. He's featured in A Year Till Sunday. He actually broke his leg early in the year that year. He lost his position. He comes back on into the team later on. He ends up playing number six later in his career. He's the inverse of a Paddy Andrews, a forward at the start, marking Kieran McDonald in a Connacht Championship game as a number six towards the end. It's the opposite way he went.
Why would he go back? Never go back. Never go back.
We saw Tony Kelly's goal at the weekend. We're going to talk about that in a second. The bit of magic we saw. Probably one of the greatest goals in an All-Ireland final we've ever seen in Croke Park. Well, this fella...
Yeah.
This man who's joining us played the greatest pass before the greatest goal.
The pass.
I reckon.
The pass.
Ever scored in an All-Ireland football final. Paul Clancy. First of all, the Galway defenders. Kevin Walshington catches it under the crossbar. It's against Kerry. The move breaks out. Donlan goes on the run. Gives it to Joyce. Joyce finds Paul Clancy, our guest on Thursday night, who spins, doesn't look, and finds one of his best buddies, Declan Meehan, on the run, and Meehan roofs it into the top corner. An unbelievable goal in the year 2000. Paul Clancy, Stephen McDonald, two legends, joining Paddy Andrews and James O'Donoghue on the Football Pod on Thursday night.
Good stuff, team. Credit where it's due. You've done well. You've done well there.
We've had an unbelievable record of guests, to be fair. Every guest has just been top quality, like
the magic,
and delivered on the night as well, which is important.
You know what the best thing is, James? They all want to be there. They're looking forward to talking to the two of ye. That's
exactly right.
That's
this is absolute spoof merchant of the fucking highest order here.
I'm telling you, right? So that's the crack. That is.
But you know what? With those both of those lads, the teams they were on, very interesting. Obviously, Steve McDonald, they only won the one All Ireland, which is incredible. Considering that our man team, I know Tyrone come on the scene. And Kerry were always knocking around. There was a brilliant Kerry team around them as well. I always thought our man probably should have won more than one. I think in 2004. Who could, if Fermanagh catch them in 2004? Who knocked them out? Kerry win it in the end, obviously, to beat Mayo.
But, I think you're right. Tyrone got them.
Paul Clancy, we had to get someone from Here Till Sunday. Somebody who featured in that. John O'Mahony will tell us stories about him. Galway's last two All-Ireland, so it's... It's good stuff, T. I have to say, fair play to you. You mentioned that bag.
Yeah, you mentioned that Armagh team, like the 2000 semi-finals. The, you know,
Tyrone 05. What a match.
99 semi-finals too, right? And then an 0-1 in the All Ireland quarter final. It's locked Galway at 12 points apiece. Galway get them. And who scores the winning point in injury time?
Clancy.
Michael Donnelly.
Clancy.
Come on.
Is it Clancy?
Clancy. Donoghue gets
Jimmy,
it.
You've been doing your homework. Jeez.
3 points.
Stunning the good old days. They were the good old days of football as well. Like, you know, from...
Yeah.
From... Proper yeah, ball. 2000 up to 2010. Classic. Just pure attack. Even I heard Tony Kelly talking about hurling when he started playing, and he was like, he'd see clips of himself. He'd almost be ashamed of him baiting the ball down 60 yards to nobody. But that was just the way they played. Just long balls, giving it away. No problem. Once we lose it down there, we lose it. And they were still racking up huge scores. Same in football, really. The ball was, it wasn't as...
The ball phrase, Jimmy, that you hate, that wasn't invented back then. The ball in.
Those three words were never put together in that sequence.
Whoever brought them on the scene has ruined football.
I forgot to mention, I actually, on Saturday, attended one of the sandbox games for Jim Gavin and the Football Review Committee. So, Aim Fitzmaurice, James Horan, Colin Nally, all the members of the Football Review Committee, Jim Gavin, Seamus Kenny from Meath, Shane Flanagan from Kildare, Colin Collins, they were all there to watch Aero take on Clontigad in the new rules. The referees, the Lions umpires, we were in Cusick Park. They were actually testing the tannoy system in the Fair Green, getting ready for the homecoming at the time. So it was a little bit surreal.
Have you slept in the last week?
I'll sleep in August.
You're pure showbiz.
So I'll be bringing you a little bit on that. I'm not going to talk about it now because there's a lot going on. Maybe the week after the All-Ireland football final, I'll bring you some of the interviews from that, some of the rules, some of the fallout. But one of the big things come out of it is that they're bringing back the Railway Cup, and it's going to be televised later this year from Croke Park. They're going to play the new rules, Railway Cup. Don't give me that snarl, James. Don't do that.
Absolute waste of time.
Ah, no. Get out of Dodge.
Huh? Jimmy, you need a growth mindset. You need to be open to these ideas.
Okay.
It's not a good idea.
Shut up, James.
Who decided to bring
that
James, back?
I've no time for that. The Railway Cup is coming back and I want it back.
Who are
Dublin going to release onto the Leinster team? Who are Kerry going to release onto the Munster team? I'll tell you who. Fucking nobody.
Well, that's a shame.
They'll have to go 13 aside.
And look at Dublin and Kerry this year. Look at the stadiums now. Look at you.
Get off your high horse. Just because Clare won the All-Ireland, now you're doing your full fucking transfer over. Yeah.
Paddy,
the whole main team is going to be the Leinster team.
I am a Mead man. Paddy, just before we get to Galway, our man, we start our build-up here. You were in a lovely seat in the Hogan Stand. You were a banner man all evening. I heard you roaring up the banner.
I was supporting the banner, I have to say.
You took a great photo with the final whistle and
that was unbelievable, yeah.
Martin
Listen
O'Leary.
Listen, coming on.
Oh. Martin O'Leary and his mates were hanging over the rafters, and he's from Ballyhea, actually. He plays with Tony Kelly, and he actually played...
Oh, does he?
Pufflers, right. So,
I don't know if security were too happy with the Clare fans basically climbing up the stands just to get a look at the presentation, but it was... it was some bust. Jesus. Obviously, look, what a game. Incredible. What a finish. Tony Kelly, the absolute bit of magic. I was watching when the goal went in. I was actually in behind the Ard Corley when over the head.
What was the reaction
in
there? In the
there was actually just applause. There was even Cork supporters. That was genius. So you love sport. We absolutely love sport. Obviously, football's our main passion. But when you see superstars perform, they're doing... just executing incredible skill on the highest stage, under the biggest pressure. I know Cork fans won't particularly thank me for it, but what a pleasure to see that. Like, it's incredible. You just hope we're in there on Sunday and you see the likes of whoever it might be, whether it's Shane Walsh, whether it's Reid O'Neill, just moments of magic. This is elite sportsmen at the absolute pinnacle doing take your breath away stuff. And like, there were so many moments in that game. It was an incredible spectacle, but I was fortunate enough. Final whistle, obviously Cork probably should have had a free with the last puck of the game, but what drama, literally till the final whistle, you know, 90 minutes in, the reaction, the outpouring, you do love to see. You know, I'm not affiliated with Cork or Clare, but just that spectacle was one of the best things I've seen. Some of the moments of the game were spectacular. You know, it was good stuff.
All the goals were just a different level.
Yeah.
Like Downey's goal, in fairness,
runs the pitch. It's like the mini leagues. Like.
Yeah, the pace he showed. No, the fella running after him was losing some serious ground the first
poor,
it went down.
Poor Peter Duggan was. But Duggan came up trumps.
Was it Duggan? Was Duggan chasing? Yeah. But no, I thought Tony Kelly's goal was obviously unbelievable. But the goal that Shane O'Donnell assisted was
That's McCarthy. Ed McCarthy's. That's when Clare 8 points down and he plays a 1-2 with Duggan. Yeah.
Even to win that ball. The hips he showed to win that ball, like pure natural. Then the strength to keep taking men on, even though there was three around them. Get the hand pass off. I thought Shane O'Donnell is just unbelievable. I love him. I think he's class.
James, I was afraid to come to you on the hurling, given your answer on the Railway Cup, but that's nicely put. Let's now move on.
Back on the positive train.
Tom, the Railway Cup.
I'm not lingering on this. I'm not getting lost in it. We don't have time. We're on Zoom today because you couldn't update your Chrome.
That's because you
apologies if the audio quality is a little less than you're used to on the Football Pod this week. James's Chrome would not update, so we couldn't use our usual platform that we've been recording on.
Absolute shambles.
We have not been provided with suitable technologies.
For the first three seasons of the Football Pod, Paddy Andrews struggled. Every evening we recorded, you struggled. But in the last year, Paddy,
all year, I've been top of the pops, sir. Yeah.
You have transformed.
Never an issue.
Yeah, so James, we got to work on that. Okay, let's move on because it is
a tech guru. Jimmy's 5 days.
5 days till Sunday. Tomorrow on Off the Ball, you'll be able to hear.
Yeah, enough for the hurling. Fuck the hurling. It was great. It's football time now.
You'll be able to hear the build-up from Galway. I caught up with Pádraig Joyce. I caught up with Rob Finnerty. A really interesting interview. James, we might talk about that off-air. Nice little back and forth with Rob Finnerty. Just going to say, if Rob kicks the winner on his right foot, you may be to thank for that one. And
I would have had a say in the destination of Sam.
Let's keep that in the back.
That's you, Jimmy. That's your brand.
And we'll hear from John Kincannon as well. Galway selector has been soldiering with Joyce and a good friend of Joyce's over the years, played at Galway back in the day. So that's coming up. But what I want to talk to you about is where you think Sunday's All-Ireland final will be won and lost. Tommy Walsh, in our build-up at the weekend, spoke about the need to not let a game as big as an All-Ireland final pass you by. He's a man who's won plenty, same as you, Paddy. What can the players do on Sunday when the ball is thrown in to ensure that it doesn't pass them by? Because not many players from Clare and Cork allowed it to pass them by at the weekend, to be fair to them.
Yeah, look, it's got to be frantic. You know, the same as the hurdle last week. There's got to be so little between these teams. We said it. They played each other, 6 weeks ago in the championship? It was a draw. Last year in the group stages, Armagh by a point, last kick of the game. The year before, a draw. You know, there's so little. And you expect it at this stage of the championship. We said it last week, kind of praising both Galway and Armagh to get to this point. They've been the best teams when it mattered most over the last 4 or 5 weeks. But this game is going to be a titanic tussle. I hope we get some of the entertainment and the drama that we've seen in the hurling final. I think this is going to be cagey, I have to say. I was pleasantly surprised with Armagh's approach, and I think it was key in the semi-final to actually beat Kerry, that there is an element of throwing the shackles off about them. They're still obviously very tactically astute, still very difficult to play against. Those have always been key strengths in McGeady's teams, and a credit to the players, but the game is going to be so tight. How do you get yourself into the game, particularly the forward line? Because there's going to be so little space on either side. Just work your arse off. You know, nearly we used to say a couple of tackles can nearly get you into the game. I know it's not the cornerstone or maybe the stuff you enjoy doing most, but like, this game is going to be attritional. The physicality of both teams, the fitness, the organisation, like they are built on very, very strong foundations, both teams. And that's why I expect it to be, I expect it to be cagey enough. But if you're thinking, how do we get in, you know, the first 2 or 3 minutes, just get a possession, just pop it off, get yourself into the game, but just working your backside off. And there's going to be plenty of opportunities for both teams to do that. So it's, you'd be amazed, you can win a turnover, you can force a free, anything like that, and that gets you into the game. Of course, you'd love if you're Shane Walsh or you're Breen O'Neill or Roisin Connolly or these guys, that you get a lovely one at the top of the day just to pop one over the first minute or two. Beautiful. But the reality is that probably won't be happening for the first few minutes of this game. But we said last week, it's a unique final. Mm. for both sides. I know Galway were there 2 years ago. A long time, obviously, since Armagh have been there. But like I say, the form both these teams have shown over the last 3-4 weeks, when it has mattered most, they are there on merit. But there is so little between these sides. I can see this nearly, I know we made the joke about it watching the club championship games last year. You could turn this on with 10 minutes to go and watch because there's going to be so little between them. But it is set up for a titanic tussle. That it, there is no way, no doubt about that.
Yeah. Do you know, when you're talking about the game kind of passing you by, I think the way the game is played now, I think there's less chance of that happening because, okay, I said the attacks are slower. You're guaranteed to get more touches on the ball, even if they're not as dangerous as maybe you would have got before. Yeah. But you're kind of constantly in the game no matter what. You've got your defensive place to be. You've got your attacking spot to be. You're probably getting a lot of hand passes. The attacks are slow. Whereas a couple of years ago, the ball could be pinged around. And if you're not 100% tuned in to receiving or getting off the shoulder, the game can pass you by very quickly because it's kind of, it can just go over your head. Like playing the half forward line there at times, the ball can go over your head and suddenly you haven't got a touch in 20 minutes. I don't think that happens as much anymore. But I think what's interesting about this matchup is that there probably isn't a favourite. Like both sides, based on the evidence of the last couple of games against each other, they will both be saying inside in their camps, if we play to our capability, we will win. Do you know, like they'll be going through the video of the other games against each other and they'll be saying, we did this wrong, we did that wrong, we should have been so much better here. If we get those right, we'll win. So I think that's kind of a powerful message for a manager to give to the players. If you do this right, you will win. And like, whenever I used to get that message, I was like, yeah, do you know, if we're all actually on it here, we will, because there's always times where you're deep in your soul, you know that maybe the opposition has an edge on you. I don't think either side is going to think that in this instance. It is a case of play to your max, play to your team's potential, play to your individual potential. You will win this All Ireland. Like, you will have Sam Maguire at the front of the bus going home. Like, so I just think that's powerful for them.
There were so many, and I know hurling it's so different to football, but there were so many battles on Sunday that were edge going one way and then the swing the other way. The momentum swung back and forth throughout the game.
Mm.
But there was also so many players who nearly seized the moment or just about seized the moment or who did seize the moment. Like Rob Downey, as you mentioned, Mark Rogers taking on that goal, Tony Kelly doing what he does, like the different Cork players that had an unbelievable impact at times. But when you look at the Armagh and Galway sides, and I'm going to ask you each now for a key battleground where you think this game can be won and lost in a minute. But like, who is going to seize the moment this weekend? Is it going to be Turbitt? Is it going to be Walsh? Is it going to be Comer? Is it going to be Reen O'Neill? Is Aidan Forker going to come up? Is Barry McCambridge going to score again? Is he going to do an unbelievable man marking job once more? Like on the Galway side, what's Dylan McHugh going to produce this weekend? Liam Silk, Paul Conroy, Matthew Tierney. There's so much quality on show from both sides. Soupy Campbell coming in off the bench. Is Connerty going to turn around and actually deliver on the scoreboard as he had been up to the last weekend? There's potential match winners all over the field on both sides on Sunday.
No, there isn't. Go on, Paddy, sir.
No, I was just saying that we've seen so many times in All-Ireland finals, it's not necessarily the superstars that they're cited. I know the last time Galway were in the final, we did have Clifford for Kerry and Shane Watts for Galway put on a tour de force for both of them. That's quite rare. It's incredible to see. I mean, we were all there that day. It was an amazing spectacle. But it can sometimes, or actually more often than not, be maybe a lesser known star who has the major impact on the game. And you mentioned some guys there. McHugh was obviously had an outstanding year for Galway. What he brings, not just to their offence, but their attack. Barry Cambridge, probably looking at picking up Shane Walsh, you would say. Mm. Possibly Cober. But you do a job. We see that in last year's final with Fitzsimons on Clifford. It might necessarily be defensive plays that are the game breakers here. You know, yeah, we'd love to see Reid O'Neill score 10 points. Shane Watts, those two guys have a shootout. The way both teams are set up, that's probably unlikely. You know, but with that, the battlegrounds around the pitch, the matchups, like I say, there's so little between these sides. It is fascinating to look at it. But if you're saying a key area, I'm looking forward to see. I just think around the middle third, the way both teams go for kickouts, Armagh have a brilliant press when they go with it. They don't do it for every play, but you know, Conor Gleeson has had, he's answered a lot of critics at different stages throughout the season, but they will without doubt try and nick a few of his kickouts. And we said it last week, if Galway go long, why wouldn't you? You've got Conroy, Tierney, you know, Johnny Marr, Comer coming out. But on the Armagh side, they've been outstanding, Grimley and Ben Creeley. And then you've Reid O'Neill coming out there. So it's that battleground. We love seeing long kickouts because the reward, if you win it, you are transitioning up the pitch. And that is a key for both of these attacks. If it's slow and it's ponderous, they're both so well set defensively, it'll be very hard for scores to come by. And obviously, from our point of view, the neutral, as a spectacle, that ain't great. Mm. You know, if you start seeing long kickouts and somebody starts winning that battleground, because they're both very strong around that area of the pitch, all of a sudden you could be up the pitch in 4 or 5 seconds. And now there's a massive chance for Shane Watt, for Connolly, for Turbot, and these guys to have the impact, because they're going to get one-on-one. So that's, I'm fascinated. Both teams do go long. Not all the time. Both teams have a good press. They're well organised. But that middle third, if you can get those long kickouts off, and I think both sides are so good. It's going to be hard for one side to dominate the other. But if you can win 3 or 4 of those long kickouts, what an opportunity that gives your attack to get at the opposing defence before they get their 8, 10, 12 bodies back. It's fascinating.
James, I went big on Armagh's midfield. Sorry, I went big on Armagh's midfield before. I want to get to your background in a second, but I went big before the Kerry game on Armagh's midfield. Kerry didn't really go long, but Galway are going long. Like Paddy is saying it there. Are going long. So I think that's just going to add to this game so much.
I think the long kick out, I think it plays into Galway's hands. I think there's so much size and handling and aerial ability around there that they'll be able to almost stand there and say, come on then, put it up for grabs. That's our baby. Like, we want that. I can't see Armagh doing that. I think Armagh will give up the Galway kick out. I think they'll leave Gleeson take it short. And I don't think they'll be going too long off their own. I hope they do, because it'll be a better spectacle. But I think that Galway are too strong in that area.
And what if they give it up, but Gleeson still goes long?
You see, they could, but they'll have all the forwards coming in under the break. Then all they have to do is spoil it. Okay. Sometimes if it's given to you, you have to take it, because otherwise you're outnumbered out under the break. Now, it'd be interesting to see if he still does back himself.
I think he will. But I think he will still go.
I think there's definitely times Armagh will push up at his kick-out. So maybe if it's not for real, only a 3 or a 45. Gleeson has had a much better season.
Maybe stage press, Paddy, yeah.
He came over to the Connacht final. Okay. Yeah, I think there is an opportunity to get after. He's not overly comfortable on the short kickouts. It just happens to be, if Galway didn't have that size and presence that Jimmy's talking about around the middle, they will be under pressure then.
Yes. But okay.
It is such a weapon. We've seen them use it against Donegal, particularly in that first half, hitting Tierney, hitting Paul Conroy. And if you get it long, you're transitioning up the pitch in 4 seconds, as opposed to going short. It could take you over a minute to get up there. You know, so it's just, it's a hell of a lot better to watch, but I think both teams have such strength out around that part of the pitch. They'll see it as an opportunity.
Okay. James, your key battleground for this Sunday. Now, on our members' pod this week, I think I'm actually going to go through the torture of asking you to pick a combined Armagh Galway 15, because the Sunday night I podcast did it during the week with Morris Brosnan, and when they did it, I was
like,
interesting. So I actually pulled over the car on the way to the Galway press day and picked my team before I listened to it. I asked James to pick it as well. So Paddy, you might actually just officiate between the two teams on the members pod, and we do that. So keep that in the back pocket.
I'll mediate.
Okay.
So just give us, without naming names, what's the split on your team?
I don't have it yet.
Don't say 8-7, is it?
13-2.
I don't have it yet.
There's no main lads allowed in this tub.
Tell you what.
There's four Clare hurlers in Thomas.
Tommy Kelly's at number 11.
Because we're on Zoom, we have 8 minutes left in this recording. But fear not, we have a football pod on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Howler.
So anyone who can't make Friday night show,
sick of sight is by Sunday.
Anyone who can't make Thursday night's roadshow, it'll be on Off the Ball's YouTube and in our podcast feed on Friday. And anyone who isn't lucky enough to make our secret exclusive off-air event on Friday night can get it Saturday. It will be recorded and released Saturday. So
very intriguing, this event here on Friday. Jesus.
It is intriguing. So James, 8 minutes left. Give me your key battleground, and then there's a few other little bits we'll tease through.
I suppose
My key battleground is in the Armagh fullback line. Because, first of all, Barry McCambridge didn't start the Ulster final. He has been phenomenal since, but he doesn't have huge experience of marking the big guns on the biggest days. Shane Walsh has history of turning up in All-Ireland finals and kicking outrageous points. If you think about his battle with Tom Sullivan that day in 22, you could argue, and we've had this argument before, I've had it with lots of others, some say that the Tom Sullivan couldn't have done any more because Shane was out in front of him, turned, kicked over the shoulder at these outrageous points. If McCambridge is on him, I think he'll have a very different day to what he had with Clifford, because Shane Walsh is so comfortable on the wings that he can hang out on the side. He can just get that little bit of separation by McCambridge, obviously a team defender as well. He'll have to step inside. I think Walsh can still get a lot of ball. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with Walsh if he goes roaming. Because I think if he stands next to McCambridge, McCambridge might have the physicality to keep him quiet. But if Walsh does go roaming, I think that will play into Comer's hands then as well, because it'll allow Comer to occupy that space a little bit more. So I think the first 5 or 10 minutes will tell an awful lot as to how this game is going to go. Because as we said last week, if Galway can get Comer and Walsh firing together on the same page and both playing, I'd rather see them both play 7 out of 10 than one play 9 out of 10 and the other play 4 out of 10. Like, if they both just occupy their defenders and every Armagh defender is looking over their shoulder, where's Comer, where's Walsh, where's Finnerty? I think that that's where Galway can win the game. I think definitely the kickouts. If the ball is in the air, I think Galway win that battle. But if they can get it into the three boys who are all playing well and at different on different areas of the field, you know, they can't be on top of each other. Walsh would probably have to go roaming a bit. If they all play well, I think that could be where it's decided.
I think, just looking at the matchups here, I think McCambridge will take Walsh. I think Paddy Burns will likely match up with Rob Finnerty, Aaron McCain, and naturally on Comer, with either McGrain covering or sweeping, or maybe pushing up into the half forward line or half back line to pick up somebody else there. Or maybe we'll see a late change in that Armagh defence. I don't know. But that's how the matchups I would see them going. Paddy, just come in there on kind of the attacks there and what way they're going to fall. Because I have one last question before we finish.
I know we're looking at matchups there, but I think the key strength of both of these teams is their defensive structure. Yes, it's brilliant having those one-to-one battles as well. He said it so many times, I don't think we're going to see a situation where you're going to see a lot of isolation, those one-to-one battles. I think both teams understand that they have a massive strength in terms of how defensively they're set up. The Kerry Galway fight of a couple of years ago was very different, because Kerry will always place. There is those spaces for the likes of Shane Watts to have an individual battle with Tom Sullivan. I think it'd be different. I do. I like the sound of those matchups. The same, what do Galway do with Turbot? Reid O'Neill, that danger kind of drifted out around the middle. Is it potentially Johnny Healy or Johnny Barr goes back? He's done a brilliant job on Fenton earlier in the summer. Maybe around the middle third, he'll pick him up if Reid O'Neill goes inside, which you know he likes to do. Who is it then that drops back into him? Is it Silk? But I think you'll see a lot of interchangeable, just the way both teams play and approach. But I agree with James. I said it for the last couple of weeks. Galway's ceiling, if they're at their absolute optimum, is above Armagh. These played, 5 weeks ago now over Markovitch Park. Galway were comfortable in that game for large periods of that game. It changes on a short kick out that goes right. Armagh get the goal and end up getting out of there with a draw. But I suppose the unknown or the intangible bit around Armagh is just the momentum that they have in this team now. The resilience that no doubt they've shown coming back from yet another heartache. They still haven't won a big title. And who would have thought that their first one could potentially be the All-Ireland itself over Division 2 or an Ulster title? So that momentum, the buzz around this place on Sunday is going to be incredible. That does count for something. So it's... And our lads, and I know we're talking a lot about Walsh and Comer and Finnerty, but we've got Thurman, Murden, Reid O'Neill, Connolly. He could be the guy, you know, in a scoring sense. We know there's a lot of unseen work as well. So it is fascinating, but you've got to say, if both teams are at their absolute best, you probably edge Galway ahead of Armagh. But that's, we don't know.
You say that.
This one is so tight.
You say that, and I fully understand why you say it. But you look at their last three championship games in the last 3 years, and it's penalties, yeah. It's a point to Armagh, it's a draw earlier this year. So maybe we are due Galway winning by a point. So, Paddy and James, final quick one. Shane O'Donnell and Patrick Horgan both lined out at the weekend after tweaking hammers during the week. I'm sure there was loads of other injuries and ailments that had happened. They both got through the games. For all the injuries and the issues that players have had and teams have had, you'd imagine they'd be patched up, ready to rock, full of adrenaline.
They're going to be playing. And the lads are going to be playing.
They will get 100%. Through it. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
100%.
You can get through one game. You have to be willing to sacrifice 2 months after. But I mean, you'd sacrifice. There is no life in these players' heads. There is no life after Sunday. They're not thinking of anything else. This is their life is only up to Sunday at 6 o'clock or whatever. They're not thinking about anything else. They would give anything for it. They'll be patched up 100%.
Yeah. Okay. Paddy Andrews, James O'Donoghue, we will be talking every single day this week. This is our preview show, our first of the week for the All-Ireland Football Final on Sunday, the 2024 All-Ireland Football Final between Armagh and Galway. Tomorrow on our members pod, we will be picking through some more bits. We'll be looking at a combined 15 and seeing where we get with it. We will give you details on how to make that event on Friday night if you are a Football Pod member. Thursday night roadshow, doors at 6:30 in Croke Park. Floor 6, I think, in the elevator. The details will be there when you enter in the premium entrance for anyone with a ticket.
5T, come on.
Floor 5. Floor 5, the Hogan Suite. Overlooking the Croke Park pitch. It was glorious last year when we had Paul Galvin and Keno Sullivan with us. We had a great night. That's Thursday night. We have Stephen McDonald and Paul Clancy joining us. An Armagh legend and a Galway legend. Doors 6:30. Show starts 7:30. We'll be wrapped up and finished before 10 o'clock. Paddy and James. As always, the Football Pod is brought to you by AIB, proud sponsor of the Senior Football Championship. Check out hashtag Tuffers for more. Thanks for joining me. We will maybe have a little pre-roadshow production meeting right now, and we will catch up then on our members' pod tomorrow. Thanks, boys.
See you, boys.
Sounds good. Good luck, lads.